Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much indeed, Nina, and welcome to everybody. It's absolutely great to be here, and it's absolutely fantastic to have so many people here. I just can't believe we've got more midwives here than ever. It's such a reflection of the enthusiasm of midwives for getting together and continuing to develop their practice and so on. I've only got 20 minutes with you. I'm going to have to really go fast, but I'll be out and about throughout the conference, so please do colour me, tell me what you think of the RCM, tell me what you think of midwifery in general, and I'll take everything you say back and either deal with it myself within the RCM or pass on messages to the politicians or whoever needs to know. So, this has been another testing year for midwives, there's no doubt about that. But yet again, midwives throughout the UK have responded to the challenge of providing high quality care against a never rising birth rate, more complex cases, midwife shortages, and a squeeze on NHS spending. There is no doubt that there is a growing disparity between the demands that are made on midwives and the resources at their disposal. This is compounded by a widening gap between the rhetoric about how maternity services should be for women and the reality that midwives experience on a daily basis. Let's explore the rhetoric versus the reality. More births. The rhetoric is that the birth rate is levelling off. This is simply not true. The reality is that we are still in a baby boom. All four UK countries have experienced a rising number of births over the last 10 years. In England, the number has soared by a massive 22%. In Scotland, the last 3 years has witnessed a rise in births and the highest birth rate for a decade. Between 2002 and 2010, the number of births in Wales rose by 19%. Births in Cardiff have risen by a massive 33%. And births in Northern Ireland are up by 15%. Further rhetoric is that births are more complex. This is true. The number of mothers giving birth aged 40 and over has increased by over 50% since 2000. Half the childbearing population of the UK are now overweight or obese, and birth by intervention is becoming nearly as common as normal birth, putting more pressure on midwives. One in four women are now having their baby by caesarean section. But it doesn't actually have to be like this. Midwives at Blackpool's Victoria Hospital cut their caesarean section rate by 20% by challenging existing practice and improving communication. 20% of births in the UK now involve induction, and the epidural rate now stands at 37%. But it doesn't have to be like this either. Following the opening of a birthing suite at Kettering Hospital, the number of women using water for pain relief doubled, and having a water birth at Kettering has quadrupled in the last year. The home birth rate in England is only 3% and 4% in Wales. In Scotland, it's barely 1%. But again, it doesn't have to be like this. The Glanymore team in Wales have achieved a home birth rate amongst their women of 24%. And in Northampton, the establishment of a new team of experienced midwives has seen the home birth rate increase from 5% to 7.5% in 1 year. So in relation to complexity, things can be different. But I would ask, where is the political will to help more services make a difference and emulate the very best. And then take another issue, numbers of midwives. When it comes to midwifery staffing and midwifery numbers, the rhetoric is that there are more midwives than ever before. This is actually true, and in some parts of the UK, things are standing up well in the face of pressure. Scotland and Northern Ireland, even with a rise in the number of births, still have a broadly sufficiently large midwifery workforce. But this is because those countries actually invested in their midwifery workforce and at the start of the baby boom had enough midwives and were therefore able to cope. Wales was doing okay at the beginning of the last 10 years, but in the last 3 years, the gap between the increase in births and the number of midwives has widened. And in England, the picture is very different. The reality is that the midwifery shortage in England, we believe, is becoming a crisis. And yes, the number of midwives in England has increased, but nowhere near enough to keep pace with the growth in the midwives' workload. And despite this pressure, the only promise we have is the rhetoric that student places are being protected. But the reality is that that is only in England, and then only for a year. And the hard reality is that midwife shortages are compounded by indications that the midwifery workforce is getting older. 10 years ago, only a third of midwives in England were aged 50 or older. Now, almost half are. And in Scotland and in Northern Ireland, this profile is also changing, and the number of midwives approaching retirement age is dramatic. So we're looking at losing significant numbers of midwives in the next few years in a situation where we are already short. And you have probably already heard in the media this morning that roughly a third of newly qualified midwives that the Royal College of Midwives has surveyed are not able to get jobs. A substantial and consistent rise in student midwives' numbers who actually do get jobs is the only way in which we'll rectify this enduring problem of too few midwives to cope with a rising workload. And what about funding? The rhetoric is that the NHS budget has been maintained and there are no cuts in frontline services. The reality is that budgets are being squeezed and services are being cut. While the Scottish Government has pledged to protect NHS spending, it is also projecting cuts, including 1.7% fewer nurses and midwives. NHS spending in Northern Ireland is projected to fall by 2.2% by 2014-15, while the Welsh NHS budget will fall by 8%. And this slide relates to England, where the government has said it will ring-fence the NHS budget in England. And in England, spending on maternity services has increased, but not enough. And pressures on NHS services mean that in England, we have to find 20 billion in efficiency gains by 2015. This is a huge ask. And meanwhile, several billion pounds are being wasted on what the RCM believes is a pointless reorganisation of the NHS. What is absolutely clear is that maternity services will not be exempt from the squeeze on spending. According to our annual survey of heads of midwifery, two-thirds of heads of midwifery say their staffing establishments aren't currently sufficient to meet demand. A third anticipate having to cut staffing levels over the next year, and a third report having to cut services in the next year. Royal College of Midwives officers are also dealing with more cases of midwife posts being downbanded, of senior midwives being downgraded, of birth centres threatened with closure, from Andover in Hampshire to Hull in the northeast to Flando in Wales to Dover and to Derbyshire. We're hearing of this problem. We're also hearing of problems of cuts to postnatal visiting and enormous pressures on community midwives, and of maternity services that are more often having to close temporarily. This government stresses the importance of remembering the human costs involved in healthcare as well as the financial cost. My challenge to the government is therefore, how can maternity services continue to have money taken out of them without creating a negative human cost, without lowering the quality of services for women who rely on the NHS for their care? Midwives, as you all know, have already delivered more with less over the last 10 years. How much more can we carry on doing is what I would want to ask our politicians. And what about pensions and conditions of service? The rhetoric on public sector pensions is that they are unaffordable and that contributions must go up to pay for the rising cost of pensions. The reality is that the NHS pension scheme has generated a surplus for the government of more than £2 billion, and that NHS staff put more money into the NHS pension scheme than they take out. And yet you will now be asked to increase your contributions, not to fund your pension scheme, but to pay off the national debt caused by the irresponsible and reckless behaviour of bankers. On pay, the rhetoric is that we're all in this together. We all have to share the pain. The reality is that it is you who have had to make sacrifices. Your pay's been frozen, and you'll be paying more in contributions. However, the chief executives of the top stock exchange companies took home an average salary that is 110 times as much as the average midwife earns. It could make you really, really furious. And then, of course, it isn't all about politics, it isn't all about employment. We also have clinical challenges confronting us. Let's take the recent furore over the draft NICE guidelines on elective caesarean sections. This has highlighted the complex issue of how to manage choice. The RCM has been fair to NICE and stressed that the guidelines have, to a large extent, been misrepresented. But we have also tried to make it clear that the risks and problems associated with major abdominal surgery should not be understated, and that if a woman feels supported by a midwife who she knows and trusts, then there is very small likelihood of her asking for a caesarean section. A further challenge arises from the debate about who provides maternity care. The RCM values maternity support workers very, very highly, and I know lots and lots of midwives who say they couldn't run services without this vital workforce, and the contribution they make is critical. But the skill mix must remain appropriate, and the role of the midwife must not be eroded where maternity services are hard pressed. There are also legitimate questions being raised about the sustainability of birth centres where activities are low. But the challenges facing standalone birth centres are actually largely based on issues of cost. And whilst the evidence is very clear about the benefits of such services to mothers, it is an absolute challenge to us to defend birth centres and make sure they do not suffer in times of economic hardship. So, lots and lots of challenges, lots and lots of problems. And I have been saying to people, you know, I think we'd really be forgiven for just diving back up under our duvets, pulling the duvets over our head and giving up, because it is pretty difficult out there. But needless to say, that's not what we're doing as midwives and maternity support workers. Despite all these difficulties, it is an absolute tribute, I believe, to our profession that midwives are actually rising to this occasion. And I believe that's right. We must rise to the occasion, and we must remember that at the end of the day, we as individual midwives can make an enormous difference to the women for whom we care, even when the going is tough. I get out and about a lot, and so do my colleagues. And we've been seeing this last year, the great work being done at midwife-led units like the ones at Stroud, at Huddersfield, and the Barkentine Birth Centre, as well as the Serenity Centre in Birmingham and the Oasis Birth Centre in South London. And there's many more. And I have visited midwifery units and talked to midwives in Belfast, in Manchester, in Maidstone, in Crowborough, in Cardiff, in Birmingham. I'm going to Morecambe Bay very soon. I've been in Glasgow, I've been in Portsmouth, Chelmsford, Dumfries and Chichester, and many other places. And in all of these services, midwives working in antenatal, labour and postnatal care, in hospital and in community, with women experiencing a normal pregnancy, or women with medical and social needs, are doing brilliant jobs. So my congratulations to you. Keep it up. We will continue to try to overcome the challenges that we all face, but you need to keep up your wonderful work. And the priority is to overcome the challenges. And the last thing we need is the organisational upheaval, an additional expense that will result from the bill being currently debated in the House of Lords. We do not need that bill, and the RCM will continue to lobby and call for substantial amendments to the bill in order to stop the destabilisation of the NHS. In addition, in terms of what the Royal College of Midwives is doing, we have formally lodged a petition with Parliament calling on the government to set a target to recruit an extra 5,000 more midwives in England. We already have 10,000 signatories. It's one of the top petitions at the moment. Please join us in signing this petition and get all your friends to do so as well. If we can get 100,000 signatures by next year, we'll get a debate in Parliament on midwifery recruitment. Sign the petition. Go to this site. We're also actively lobbying in the new administrations in Edinburgh, Cardiff and Belfast in order to make the case for continued investment in maternity services. And next week, we will be launching our first annual State of Maternity Services report, as well as calling for increased investment in maternity care. This report will be advocating innovative ways in which workforce shortages can be addressed. But we're not just lobbying. The Royal College of Midwives is also providing tools for you. And today I'm delighted to launch our latest resource to support your professional development, the RCM iFolio. This new online portfolio enables you to record and track your developments to share with your supervisors and with your managers. And I hope you'll all log on and make your attendance here your first iFolio entry. I'm also absolutely delighted that the new RCM Library Collection is open for readers once again in its new home at the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists. And the archives, as well as our journal collection, are absolutely fantastic. And we're continuing to campaign on valuing the midwife. And I'm delighted to launch this new Wordle, which will be used on posters and other materials. My daughter's now got this on the back of her car. Get one on yours. And we value well-trained maternity support workers, as I've said. And we set up an expert reference group earlier this year. And this work has resulted in the publication of this document, The Role and Responsibilities of Maternity Support Workers, which will help you to ensure that maternity support workers make the right contribution to our services. And I'm delighted to inform you that our RCM home birth audit is now available. This gives a national picture of midwives' current thinking about home birth practice and is a useful tool in helping midwives to think through how they might overcome blocks in developing home birth provision. You've also got a new board. This has been an historic year for the RCM, introducing new governance arrangements. This is the new board that's responsible for setting the broad strategic direction of the RCM. And this group of people plans to work with RCM staff and members to ensure the RCM works effectively and efficiently and meets your needs. And tomorrow is the last day to apply to be the RCM president, if you would like to do that. You can do it at the stand. And just drawing to a conclusion, I also want to introduce you to the RCM cycle team. Remember that your RCM is run by a dedicated team of staff. They are fantastic and they work brilliantly, I can assure you. They consistently go the extra mile to meet your needs. And next May, a team of them will literally be going the extra 300 miles as we cycle from London to Paris. And we're doing that in support of the National Maternity Support Foundation, one of the charities that the college supports and of which I'm proud to be a patron. And if you feel like sponsoring us, we would be absolutely delighted. I hope that you will contribute to this cause as well as to the many very important international and overseas causes that I know you already support. So in conclusion, there are many, many challenges for us, but I believe you are doing a wonderful job. And I want to say this morning, as we go into our conference, that the Royal College of Midwives is right behind you. We now have over 40,000 members. This is the biggest the Royal College of Midwives has ever been. You have a voice out in the workplace, and we have a voice working for you. Together, I believe we can overcome the problems we face and deliver high-quality care to the women and babies of this country who deserve just that. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.